بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 5th of October in the year 2020 alhamdulillah I spent the important session last night clarifying upon our belief with regards to the glorious Quran i.e. that the Quran is not a creation. It is the uncreated words of our exalted Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in continuation, the recital of the Quran is something majestic because our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever wishes to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then let him recite from the Mus'haf subhanahu. Whoever wishes to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then let him recite from the Mus'haf. This is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 2219, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya 7-209 with the Sahih channel transmission. So if you look at this blessed report, Sahih Hadith, this is a sign of love. When people say we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messengers, speech is cheap. Where's the proof? And one of the signs that you do truly mean what you say is you recite the Quran. So think about that. Though the reward is not mentioned, what can be greater than knowing that the proof is in the pudding? This is a sign of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, i.e. that you recite the Quran, said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report, our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of my ummah's act of worship is the recitation of the Quran by sight. Subhanallah. The best of my ummah's act of worship is the recitation of the Quran by sight. This is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 2022, Qudai in his Musnad number 1284, Kanzul Umal number 2264-5. So look at how amazing the Prophet mentioned. He goes, there's various acts of worship, but the best act of worship is to recite the Quran, nadara, by sight. Now, what was the Prophet highlighting here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was highlighting that you read the Quran, you have the Mus'haf in front of you and you look with your eyes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is the best act of worship. So if I was to say nothing else, what else do you need to know about the Quran? It is the most beloved, the best act of worship, and it is a sign that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only this, it is the quickest way to connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Hakim in his Mustadrak, he states Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari, Zahabi Sahih, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is nothing that facilitates nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than that which emanated from him, meaning the Quran. Subhanallah. There is nothing that facilitates nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than that which emanated from him, meaning the Quran. So last night I spent the entire session indicating the Quran is Allah the Almighty speech. So the Prophet highlighted here again, it's emanated from him. It's from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the shortcut, for want of a better word, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if somebody says to you, I feel like I'm distant. I feel like my iman's weak. Iman, me being weak, means that you feel distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing quicker than the Quran. How strange is that when you mention that to a person? And what's interesting is those who are connected to the Quran, they are furthest from making those statements. For instance, you see people, they pride themselves on their knowledge, but they're distant from the Quran. And you get others who are illiterate, can't read or write, but they're always reading the Quran. Who makes this statement? My iman's weak. Right? Look how interesting. Never the person who's reading the Quran. It's always the so-called intellectual. You know, is my iman. It goes back to what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the shortcut to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the quickest connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Consider the connection that Thabit Bunani had with the Quran. Thabit al-Bunani rahmatullah alayhi, it mentions, whenever people would pass close by his blessed grave, they would hear the utterance of the recital of the Quran coming from within it. Subhanallah. Whenever people would pass close by his blessed grave, they would hear the utterance of the recital of the Quran coming from within it. This is in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, volume 2, page 362 to 366. So think about that. He's passed away. And you're still hearing the Quran inside his grave. So now think about that. Is he doing that for worship, reward? Is he doing that for... Nothing's been recorded. So why is he reciting the Quran in his grave? Because he must have loved to recite the Quran when he was alive. So this was a karamat of Thabit al-Bunani. And what did I mention about this great man? Thabit Bunani rahmatullah alayh was seen praying in his grave. This is in Ahmad in his Zuhud, Bayhaqi, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, 8-317, Ibn Abi Dunya, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, 2-319, Hafiz Zahabi in his Sir, 5-222, with a Sahih chain of transmission. So two things he's doing in his grave, rahmatullah alayh. One is he's reciting the Quran. And the second is he's offering salah. And there's no contradiction, because the Quran is part of the salat. Subhanallah. May our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us such a yearning for such priceless and most treasured deeds. I mean, we're alive, we're getting rewarded for it, and we're dragging our feet. He's passed away, no reward for it now, and he's doing it with love. Look how strange that is. If anybody should be dragging their feet, is him. Well, you know, now is the time to, you know, you've done your bit. And if anybody's going to accelerate, it should be us. But the problem is our iman. You know, our connection is weak. The children's recital is also most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? In Darimi, in his Sunan, number 3345 or 2-530, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to punish the people of the earth. But when he hears the children reciting the glorious Quran, he withholds his punishment. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to punish the people of the earth. But when he hears the children reciting the glorious Quran, he withholds his punishment. Think about that. Why? Because a ma'asum is reciting Allah ta'ala's kalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is nothing more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than when a prophet recites the Quran. That's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Why? Because a ma'asum is reciting the uncreated speech. So what's another ma'asum? It's a child. And what's strange is people think that children shouldn't recite, let them play. And the response is, punishment might be coming, brother. Right? And what's interesting, when you actually hear children recite, it softens your heart. You notice that. Right? Why? Because they're sinless. So this is something beloved when a child recites the Quran. Consider also in Tuhfa Ihufaz, page 392. So it mentions Sheikh Badr Adam, rahmatullah alayh, a great scholar of hadith, passed away in Medina Munawwara and he was buried in Jannat al-Baqi. So who is this person? So this was a muhaddith. He passed away, you know, you're talking the last century, or maybe 100 years or so, and he was buried in Jannat al-Baqi. The authorities at the time dug up his grave on three separate occasions, 6 months apart, following his burial, in order to bury others in his grave. So you notice in Jannat al-Baqi that graves are very quickly filled. Then another person is buried, even sometimes in the same grave. So within a 6 month period, they were going to bury somebody in his grave. Three separate occasions. Subhanallah, on each occasion, his body was found to be perfectly intact. And his body had not decomposed in the least. Indeed, it was as if he had just been buried. Even his burial shroud had not worn or disintegrated. What was the reason for this? Everybody was asking. So some of them were saying, oh, because he was a muhaddith. Some say he was very regular in his worship and etc. etc. So Shaykh Aftab Aslam, his son, he offered the following explanation. My father, Rahmatullah Alayh, had a unique quality. Despite being a great scholar himself, he would never stretch his feet towards the children who were the hafiz of the Quran. He would say, just as it is not appropriate to stretch one's feet in the direction of the Quran, it is also disrespectful to stretch one's feet towards a person who bears the Quran in his chest. It is thus likely that the blessings of such respect has caused his body to remain intact. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So Shaykh Badri Adam, he wrote many great works. He was a muhaddith, rahmatullah alayh. Jannat al-Baqi, obviously a good sign that he's successful. His body is not decaying. So what do we know about the body is not decaying? That means that's a sign that they're very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hi, the martyrs, etc., etc. They were trying to work out for this respected man. And his son, who was also a scholar, he didn't mention anything about his knowledge. Think about that. He didn't say, well, he stood here, he learned these books of hadith by heart, this, that, and the other. He went back to the Quran. And he goes, my father, despite being a huge scholar, he never stretched his feet to the children who were hafiz. Imagine. So he's a muhaddith, probably hafiz himself. He wouldn't do it. And he would say, how could you do that when you won't do it to the Quran? Because these are children who are carrying the Quran. And he goes, I think it's because of this honor, this respect for the Quran, that his body was preserved. Now think about this. Go back to the previous report. He wasn't just doing it just because he thought something tickled him. What does the hadith mention? Allah Ta'ala withholds his punishment when he hears the children reciting the Quran. Think about that. When children recite the Quran, Allah Ta'ala withholds his punishment. And he doesn't mention he has to be in a masjid. This is why in your dwellings, children should recite the Quran. Shaitan, obviously, he's going to make sure you don't do it. So he'll start using logic on you. Because they're ma'asum, nothing's being recorded. Why are you putting this bojh on them? Like Shaitan, because he wants you to get punished. Right? If punishment's coming and you're saying, we don't need security, it's alright, forget about security. You think, are you feeling alright? Right? So one of the securities is children reciting the Quran. And this man, this sheikh, his body was honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to what his son mentioned. Indeed, now this is very important, this is a ruling. It is wajib to honor the hafiz. It is not recommended. That's some fruitcakes point out. Because Allah the Almighty and Glorious Himself says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, honor the hafiz of the Quran. For whoever honors him has indeed honored me. Subhanallah. Honor the hafiz of the Quran. For whoever honors him has then indeed honored me. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Nawawi records this in his Tibyan, page 16. So if somebody says to you, oh, it's mustahab to honor Allah, you give him a slap, you idiot. What do you mean? It's farad to honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody's going to argue over that. So somebody goes, what about the hafiz? And Allah ta'ala himself spoke. He goes, honor them. Because if you honor them, you honor me. Meaning it's an obligation. So how do you honor the hafiz? You show respect because he's carrying the Quran. So what does Shaitan do? Shaitan does it again because he doesn't deserve your respect. You're more pious than him. First of all, how the hell do you know that? That's number one. You know, you just got into somebody. And even if you were more pious, does that still mean that you shouldn't honor him? So no, Shaitan is depriving you. And if it's an obligation, it means you're making Allah Ta'ala angry if you don't do this. Right? So again, honor the hafiz. Why? Really, you're honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the noble companions, he said, radiyallahu, the hafiz will be honored to sit in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when there will be no other shade. Subhanallah. The hafiz will be honored to sit in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when there will be no other shade. This is in Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus. Think about that. So who's Allah ta'ala treating with VIP? Treatment on the Day of Judgment, the hafiz. He is sitting in the shade. Not only is he in the shade, he's sitting. Not even standing on the day of standing. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala honors and loves the people who honor His book. This really should not come as a surprise. Now think about this. If I was to say to you, how many verses have the Hafiz learned by heart? What would you say?
6,000.
Okay, 6,000 plus verses. So think about this. He's learned more than 6,000 verses by heart. Apply this hadith to him. In Tabarani in his Kabir, number 7,588. Tabarani in his Shamiyyin, number 3,421. Kanz al-Oman, number 28,851. Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid, number 11,639. Is Hasan. Our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, whoever learns one verse from the Quran, then I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will welcome him on the Day of Judgment. In addition, the verse will also be smiling at him. Allahu Akbar. When I read this before, I thought, what? You have to read it again? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? You learn one verse from the book, i.e. the Quran, I will welcome him on the day. Imagine the Prophet is welcoming you. Marhaba, marhaba. Come to me, my ummati. Not only that, the verse is smiling at you. So both ways you're thinking, what is going on? Why am I being given this honor? Because you were learning Gazette, brother. Right? What do you think? All honors from the Quran, not from pamphlets, not from, you know, beautified human speech. Where's your connection? And you're going to be there in front of Allah, Nanga. Right? You want all the honor. If the Rasulullah is welcoming you, why is he welcoming you? Think about that. So, first of all, I've learned Fatiha. MashaAllah, look at your ambition towards the Akhirat. You have to learn Fatiha, you bloody idiot. Right? It means be... If you learn, just learn. When you learn a verse, big smile in your face. The Prophet's promise, he's going to welcome me. If he's welcoming you, does that mean that you're going to be punished? No point, you know, say, mashallah, marhaba, then go to hell. And then the verse is smiling at you. Why? Because that's a part of honoring the Quran. You memorized it. Thus, our beloved messenger further said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had the Quran been in a skin, then the hellfire would not be able to consume it. Had the Quran been in a skin, then the hellfire would not be able to consume it. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad 3-155. Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states Hassan in Sahih al-Jami 2-953. So these are the words of the Prophet. Open and work here. For the Quran in his skin. So obviously the one meaning here is the Hafiz. If the Quran is in his heart, he's coveting it. How can he get burned? That's what the Prophet is telling you. How is Allah Ta'ala going to punish him? When he's promised honor after honor for the Hafiz. It was for this reason. Now this is where we fall into the equation. That our beloved messenger famously said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily he who has nothing of the Quran in him is like a baytil kharib. Verily he who has nothing of the Quran in him is then just like a baytil kharib, i.e. a ruined dwelling. This is in Tirmidhi, Hakim in his Mustadrak, Targheem number 1174. Now look how beautiful the description. If you go to a ruin, is there any value to a ruin? Not really, just a lesson you can take. Yeah, people used to live here. If it's not even a ruin, it's just a desolate house smashed up, right? And it's in ruins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is the state of the one who hasn't got anything of the Quran in his heart. That's what he's like in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basically, what like we'd say, waste the space. Now what's interesting, you could have all the paraphernalia of the world, but to Allah ta'ala, you're just a ruined house. So what does that tell you? When you learn, you're furnishing. What are you furnishing? Your heart. So it's having a very powerful impact upon your heart without you realizing. If you have more and more connection to the Quran, the more your heart will be furnished. The more you are honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It thus comes as no wonder to learn that Hassan al-Basri, he said, rahmatullah alayh, look for halawa in three matters. In salah, the recitation of the Quran, and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you find it, rejoice. Otherwise, know that your door to goodness is locked, though strive earnestly to open it. Recorded by Hafiz Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayh in his Adab al-Hasan al-Basri wa Zuhduhu wa Mawa'idhu, the Beacon of Basra, page 53 of the English translation. So let's look at this. So Hasan al-Basri, very famous tabi'een from Basra rahmatullah alayh, he goes, look for halawa. We say halwa. Now this doesn't mean batai, right? It means look for sweetness. Sweetness of what? What sweetness was he talking about? He was talking about the sweetness of intimacy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you want to feel close to Him. You want to feel intimate. You want to feel the sweetness of your ibadat, your worship. Look for it in three things. He's giving you the answers. The first place you look for this is in salat. So a person goes, I don't taste it. The second place, recital of the Quran. People can't wait to put the Quran back. Forget about, you know, the sweetness. And thirdly, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said something very interesting. If you find it, rejoice. In other words, you're truly taking the sweetness. If you do not, know that your door to goodness is locked. Strive earnestly to open it. Meaning, strive in these three deeds. Strive in salat. Strive in reciting the Quran. Strive in the dhikr of Allah. And then he goes, you will get that sweetness. Thabit al-Bunani, what did he say about salat? What did I mention a few nights prior? For 20 years, I struggled with salat. Then for 20 years, I experienced pleasure. This is a tabi'in. So don't start coming out with, you know, 1 week course, I'm ready. Right? You've got to earnestly struggle. Right? You know, you've got to keep struggling. And inshallah, if you do it, Allah Ta'ala will give you that sweetness. To conclude, the Quran is fathomless. Why? Because it's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's uncreated. Meaning is, if you want to know and think about that, that's a huge secret. If somebody says to you, I want to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, what does Shaykh Hamza say? Quran. He's actually given you something of himself. Shaykh Hamza goes, think about that. You've actually got something of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's divine. He's given it to you. And when you start looking into it, literally you start blowing fuses. But that's not an exaggeration. Why? Because how can a creation understand the creator? So there's secrets in the Quran. Too many secrets. For instance, Surah Al-Baqarah has 286 verses. What's interesting? 28 surahs are Al-Madinah. 86 are Makkah. Is that a coincidence? So 286, first two numbers, 28. Medina, 28 surahs. Makkah, 86. Why has Baqarah got 286 verses? Coincidence? I don't think so. There's nothing coincidental about the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Surah Baqarah is the pinnacle of the Quran. It's the pinnacle. Right in the middle of Surah Baqarah, verse 143. Right in the middle. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? You are a middle nation. Ummatul wasata. You are a middle nation. Is that a coincidence? The Qibla is mentioned 7 times in the Quran. The word Qibla. One completes the waf around the Kaaba 7 times. Is that a coincidence? See, this is deliberately Allah Ta'ala is doing this. Because who's finding these treasures? In Surah Taha, Surah 20, verse 114, Allah the Almighty and Glorious informs His beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, audhi billahi min shaitan rajim, وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يُقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُ وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Do not be quick with the Quran before its revelation to you is completed. But say, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. So what is the secret here? So in Surah 20, verse 114, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He's talking to His beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and He said, don't be quick, don't be in haste with the Quran. Before its revelation is completed to you. In other words, I will give you the Quran in due time. Then what did He give him? Rabbi zidni ilma. Oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. So where is this verse? Surah 20, verse 114. How many surahs in the Quran? 114. There are 114 surahs in the glorious Quran. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to His beloved? Don't be quick. Before His revelation is completed. But say, oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Where's that verse? Surah 20, verse 114. As if to say, there's 114 surahs to be given to you. So note secrets, endless secrets. What did I mention today? In the daily gem. وَخَسِفَ الْقَمَرُ وَجُمِئَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. Look at the beauty of the Quran. English. Right? English is this. The moon has been concealed. وَخَسِفَ الْقَمَرُ. It also means eclipsed. The moon has been concealed. And then it says, وَجُمِئَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. And the sun and the moon have come together. Surah Qiyamah, Surah 75, verse 7 and 8. What is the secret here? Dr. Zaghloul Najjar, Hafizahullah, he said, it is now a scientific fact that the moon is moving away from the earth by 3 centimeters every year. Why is it moving away? Because the gravitational pull of the earth is not strong enough to keep it constant. So it's moving away 3 centimeters every year. When it moves away, the gravitational force of the sun is now dragging it. So it's moving towards the sun. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Bole bale. وَخَسِفَ الْقَمَرُ. The moon has been concealed. Concealed by what? The sun. وَجُمِئَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. The sun and the moon will come together. It will eventually be consumed by the sun. How on earth is that human speech? Even today, if you ask a person, brother, tell me about the moon. And he goes around the earth. And he goes, anything strange about the moon? And he goes, you tell me, brother, it's moving away 3 centimeters from the earth. He goes, see? He goes, where does it say that? Google it. Right? And then he goes, right. But I'm not bothered about that. But I'm really bothered about this though. There's a verse in the Quran that mentions it. Is there? Look at the question. That, who is it? Is there? Who's, there you go. In it. Bole bale. Intellectual, right? Go to the Quran, your fruitcake, right? And where's this surah? Surah Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala is describing Qiyamah to you. Because once the moon moves away, disaster is going to strike. So Allah Ta'ala puts it in Surah Qiyamah. There's secrets in Surah Qiyamah. Fingerprints are mentioned in Surah Qiyamah. Banana, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we shall, do you think I will not be able to bring you back? I can bring you back from your fingertips. Right? 1898, they discovered what fingerprints can do. At the end of Surah Qiyamah, Allah ta'ala tells you, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانَ أَيْ يُتْرَكُ صُدًى. Does man think he will be soda, like a camel, eating, drinking, excreting, mating? Do you think he's going to be like that? Allah ta'ala says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثُوا وَعَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Surah Mu'minun. And then Allah Ta'ala gives you embryology at the end of Surah Qiyamah. Because were you not a nutfa, then you become an alaqa, then you became a male or female. Have I not got then the power to bring you back to life? Look at the way Allah Ta'ala finishes this surah. And what did the Prophet say when he was shaking? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Bala. وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Certainly, and I bear witness to this fact. What's this surah? Surah Qiyamah. So note, the Quran is there. Same Quran that was given to our beloved. We've still got it. But are we being honored? No, because we've left the Quran. We abandoned it. Astaghfirullah. So note, connect yourself to the Quran. Recite it, memorize it, study it, find the secrets, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. The Prophet made this dua in Imam Ahmad's Muslim Hassan. Give it the spring rain of our hearts. The Quran is the shortest route to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to all that pleases Him. Amen. So all I mentioned today was now talking about the priceless Quran. And note, there's nothing comparable to the speech of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم